probably come in a bit more, you know, early on time or even before time of our service and, you know, pray and believe God and join us in prayer in the morning there and expect God to do great things, yeah? Because if we believe, it'll show. And when we believe, God will move. And God doesn't want to just heal us. He wants to use you, use me to spread his name out. Wonderful. So praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. I just pray, you know, good testimony will continue to come. And today, I want to, next few weeks, I want to actually share with you what Jesus has done for us. This is so important. I want to cover basis on what we can believe. Why is Jesus so special? Why, I mean, all the religions, of all the religions, Christianity has cross in the center. Cross, what does cross remind you? Intense suffering. A man hanging there, bleeding. So what's the significance of that? I want to share with you what God did for you, for me on the cross. So when we say, oh, I believe, what do you believe? I want to share with you what God has done on the cross so that when we say, I believe, you got basis why you believe and exercise your faith that Jesus will do something wonderful for us. And then we can share very clearly with everybody, this is what Jesus did, if you believe. And then you can, you know, pray for them in faith that what God did for Jeremy and for the lady last night, God will do for you as well. That was also fantastic. The lady had this plaster on and she could raise the hand straight up and say, instantly Jesus healed her. Instantly. And it's just wonderful. That's normal Christianity. If we will believe in him and we will honor him. Amen. So I'm going to turn to Isaiah 53. It's also on the screen. Anybody who can drive the screen? Sorry. Yeah. I like to share with the all-sufficient cross, and I want to, you know, cover, you know, next few weeks, you know, different aspects of what Jesus has done. Okay, the cross of Christ. Okay, the next one. Isaiah 53. The Bible says, God said, my people perish because of the lack of knowledge. Yeah? People are dying. Dying of tragedy, broken heart, you know, all kinds of, you know, diseases and stress, and people are perishing everywhere. There's so much problem everywhere in the world, and people are, God is saying, but my people, I don't want my people to perish because I made provision for my people. I made healing, you know, available to them. I made salvation available for them. But God's people can still perish. Even though we believe in Jesus, we can still perish because we don't know what God has done for us. So that's what we want to see. So we need to know what Jesus accomplished for us on the cross. So Isaiah 53, let's read 6 verses. It's on the screen as well. If you have a Bible, you can turn to Isaiah 53. Okay, let's read 6 verses. I want to just cover 1 or 2 aspects of what Jesus done today. Okay, let's read together. Can you see it? Let's read together out loud. It says, God is speaking. Who has believed our report? To whom the arm of the Lord has been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Amen. 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 Okay. So this is the kind of a really important core passage of what happened on the cross. On the cross, when Jesus hung on the cross and bled, he suffered and he died, there was a transaction that took place between heaven and earth. We have sinned and we have gone our own ways and we become helpless. We become sick in our heart. We begin to die. You know, we begin to age and die. We begin to have a broken relationships. And everything is cursed. Everything's going downhill. At that moment when Jesus was bleeding on the cross, heaven came down. All the resources and God's love and what God wanted men to have, it just came down through the cross and got connected with earth. And hopeless case of humanity, and all of God's provision just flowed down and has become available for us. So we are born in sin, Bible says. But through the cross, we receive all the good and blessings that God wants for humanity flow down so we can receive everything that God has for us. Without the cross, we cannot receive anything from God. God wants us well. God wants to bless us. God wants to save us from sin. God wants to reverse the curse. But without the cross, we cannot receive anything. In the cross, we can receive everything. Everything that God wants to have, there is an exchange that took place. Simply this, all the evil that is due for us to receive, experience, and die because of the sin that we've committed, and because of the sins of our fathers and fathers and our fathers and fathers going all the way to Adam, because of the sins, we've received cursed DNA. All the ill and punishment that is due to us has come upon Jesus at that moment. And Jesus has received all the punishment, all the evil, all the, curse has come upon Jesus. And all the blessing, all the goodness and mercy, healing and life that was due to Jesus, that was on Jesus, in Jesus, because he's the Son of God, he's good and he's righteous, has come upon us, to those who believe. So there was this exchange that has taken place on the cross. So this is where we need to come to receive all that God has for us. Amen. God wants to redeem us from our own ways. Okay? God wants to redeem us from all the problems that we have in this life. So cross is all sufficient. So we can receive everything that you need. You can receive everything that you need, every need that I have, every need that you have through this cross. Because Jesus has taken everything that is bad, absorbed everything like a sponge. You know, when you spill an ink on the floor, you can't get it off. You have to get rid of it, something. Jesus is this magic sponge, soaked all the evil, dark, thick ink, black curse, sickness, diseases, death, punishment, pain, sorrow. Jesus absorbed everything, and then he has released all the blessing and life to us. So in Jesus, there is life, there is joy. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, Jesus was hanging on the cross. And he said, it's finished. It's finished, he said. Means I've done everything that I need to do. I came to take the place of humanity that have broken away from God, and I'm going to absorb everything. I want all the blessing, everything that God wants to give to human race, all the goodness, all his love. I'm going to make sure that I'm going to establish this truth completely, that they will be finished. And then Jesus absorbed everything, and he said, it's all done, it's finished. You know, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, soldiers were trying to give him this gall, this, you know, kind of a medicine on the sponge, and they offered it to Jesus, and Jesus refused. Because that was kind of an anesthetic in those days. If you take that, you can numb the pain a little bit. But Jesus says, no, it's not over yet. I'm going to absorb every last dreck of your problem and sin and God's just punishment. I'm going to absorb everything to myself. Until then, I'm not going to take anything. And Jesus suffered. You know, when you get a little nail or a splinter, oh, it's bad. But you just take it off and you don't want anybody to even just take it off quickly. You want to do it yourself. And when we are in pain, what do we go for? Panadol. I used to make Panadol. I was used to do all the quality stuff with all this medicine. Panadol, I mean, you know, ibuprofen, these medicines are just, we consume a lot. And Jesus was on the cross, just all the backs open, he's just bleeding everywhere. And they're giving him kind of a today's world, Panadol, Jesus, please, we don't want you to suffer so bad. And Jesus says, no, I'm going to suffer. I'm going to completely absorb everything. And he absorbed it. Absorbed it. And then he said, it's finished. It's finished. And he says, unto you, Abba Father, I commit my spirit. And he died. So then, we don't have to do anything to receive his forgiveness, his blessings. We need faith. We need to believe. When we believe in our heart what God has done, something happens. God's grace, God's blessing flows so freely. His joy, his peace flows into our hearts. Amen. Now, let me give you something very important. Next slide. Let me ask you this question. Then, okay, Jesus carried everything that's bad, bad stuff. All the bad stuff, Jesus absorbed it. So all the good stuff can come to us. What did Jesus carry away? What's all this bad stuff that Jesus carried? This is very, very important. What is Jesus carry? All the bad stuff, what is it that he carried away? I'm going to identify them next few weeks, but this is the problem. Verse 6, you know, Isaiah 53, verse 6, he says this. Problem is, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Now, that is the problem. That is that God created us to praise him and to follow him and to love him for the wonderful gift of life he's given us, all the blessings, good food, trees, and everything he's created. He's given us everything so that we will follow him. But instead of following God, following God's word, we've gone our way, everyone. We chose our way, we pursue this, we pursue that, and we turn our back on God, we've gone our own way. That's the problem. And when we turn our own way, go our own way, pursue our own thing, pursue our career, pursue our money, turn our back on God and don't follow him, don't give God glory, what happens? What happens? When we turn away from him, we begin to die. That's the problem, because life is in God. And in our own nature, we want to go our own way. We want to make our own life, make our own future. When we do that, we lose life. Further away I go my own, my plan, we begin to lose life, we begin to shrivel. So we gotta turn back to God. That's the problem. That's the problem. And then what is God's solution? God said, the Lord, the Father God, has laid on him, the Jesus, iniquity of us all. That is, all of our iniquity from the sin that you receive, sin nature, as well as all the sin that we committed, iniquity of all the compounded humanity since Adam all the way up to all human race fell on Jesus. Everything came upon Jesus so that he will absorb everything. Now this is the important thing. What's the word iniquity? Iniquity in Hebrew is avon, okay? And that's, when we say iniquity, we mean sin. But Hebrew word avon is sin that we committed against God. It's our rebellion as well as consequences of our rebellion. That is a punishment that is due to our rebellion also came upon Jesus. That's why he didn't just die a clean death. He was smashed. Jesus was beaten. Jesus' back was all torn open. Every part of his body, sores everywhere, putrid sores, blood gushing out of everywhere, because the punishment of all our sin also came upon Jesus. I want to just show you quickly in the Bible, if you remember Cain and Abel, do you remember Cain and Abel? When Cain killed Abel, God said, what did you do? Where is your brother? He said, am I my brother's keeper? He says, where is your brother? He says, I don't know. Basically, he's lying. And God says, your brother's blood is crying out. So from now on, because of this sin, your murderer, God is saying, you murdered this person, your brother. You hated him. Because of that, his blood is crying out. Now you will have no home in this house, in this world. You will just be a vagabond. You run from here and there, lost. And then he said, this punishment is too much for me to bear. It's too much, God. Can you reduce it? Punishment. You know what that word punishment there? Avon. Same word. So this iniquity, when God laid our iniquity on Jesus, he didn't only lay our sin, he laid all the consequences, the punishment for our iniquity, our sin, upon Jesus as well. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you believe this? This is, I can show you one, two more in the scripture, but I'll just show you one more time. In Lamentation, Israel was turning away from God and they were sinning, and God says to the prophets, don't go that way, turn to me, come back. And they don't come back. So what does God send? Punishment. And they say, all the Israelites were carried away from their own country. And this is a lamentation. The punishment of the iniquity of daughter of my people. Because of that, the punishment of iniquity. In English, you got two words. Punishment, iniquity. In Hebrew, it's just one word, avon. Because when you commit rebellion against God, punishment automatically follows. But Jesus took away both iniquity, our rebellion against God, and the consequences of our rebellion against God. He took it all away in one go. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you believe this? This opens up all the treasures of what Jesus has done for us so that we can now really believe. Now, let's go to Isaiah 53, and we are coming to the first thing of what Jesus did. And, verse 5. Let me just give you just the one line there. It says, the chastisement, let's read together, the chastisement for our peace was upon him. What is chastisement? Punishment. Punishment. God's punishment, in order for us to enjoy peace, came upon Jesus. Right? Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus was punished, in other words, so that we can have peace. Do you have peace? Do you live with peace every day? Yep, yep. I mean, some people are kind of honest and say yes. Some people are honest and say, not really. Not really. Some people are honest and say, yes, I am, I am. It's, you know, God wants us to have peace. God wants to live in this world with peace. That's what Jesus paid for. Our modern life, especially our modern life, with so much electronic gadgets and so much pressure, pressure for money, pressure for work, pressure for children, pressure for this and that. I mean, peace is a very, very rare commodity. People who actually live with deep, abiding inner peace, they are rare commodity. They are more rare than fine gold. I mean, is it true? You go to a workplace and say, hi, good morning. You talk to the neighbor. How many people do you know, including sometimes Christians, actually live with deep, deep, abiding peace? I am well in my heart. How many? Because when you see them, they're very rare. They stand out, you know. You say, good morning, you know, good afternoon. And then 6 months later, 2 years later, they're always joyful. So everything is okay, you know. Actually joyful, in control of, you know, you know that everything is well with you on the inside. This is what why Jesus suffered, to give you peace. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes even Christians don't enjoy this because, you know, we have a lot of challenges come. But Jesus, this is inner wellness. Peace in Hebrew, shalom, means that inside, everything's in the right place. That's peace. You know, we don't have peace because things are in the wrong place. You know, I can't control this or this. You know, inside, I don't want to be like this, but I'm this way. And, you know, somebody saying you're wrong and you can't take it anymore and things are not in the right place. But Jesus died so that inside, not just outside, inside, everything will be in the right place and you have all perfect harmony, peace. That's what Jesus died for. Many rich people don't enjoy peace, don't have peace. And it is not until you actually experience peace of God you realize, oh my goodness, I was in turmoil. That's my experience. When Jesus came into my heart, I was a young boy, you know, a primary school. And boys don't worry that much. As you grow older, more worries come, more things to worry about and take care of. But even as a young boy, when Jesus came into my heart, supernatural peace came. This is not kind of, you know, peace because I don't fear tomorrow. This is just heaven's peace coming on my heart and go, oh my goodness, what is this? Right? This is so out of this world. Because Jesus said, my peace I'm giving to you. My peace I'm giving to you. Not as the world gives, but I'm giving you peace that comes from heaven. This is... And I realized, oh my goodness, how I didn't have peace. Until then, I thought life was supposed to be stressful. But when Jesus came and gave me his peace, and when I met him, I can just sum it up in two words, peace and love. The Father loves me. Father has unconditional love for me. And then with that, I knew I was okay. I was reconciled, the whole world and my future, everything, I'm in harmony, suddenly. And the peace of God came over me. This is what Jesus wanted to give us. Amen. So we can have the peace, no matter what happens externally, inside, we can have peace. And how do we have peace of God? This is a peace of God. How do we have this peace of God? Not peace because of the lack of conflict, or even when you go through difficult challenges, we can still have peace. Because, you know, Bible says you bring all your needs in prayer and the peace of God will guard your heart and mind in Jesus. God's peace can, in the midst of trouble, guard our heart and our mind. And our mind is not going bonkers. How do you have this peace of God? First, you gotta have peace with God. When we have peace with God, when our relationship with God is right, when we first have peace with God, then we have peace of God that comes to us. That's what happened to me. When I first said, yes, Lord, I receive your love, I am your son, that peace just supernaturally came over me like a cloud all around me. And I'm going, where am I? It's like so amazing when you enjoy that peace and love of God. You know, I wake up and it's still there. You know, it's like I'm floating in the cloud. I'm floating. Everything just, you know, I feel so much favor from God. I can conquer the world because the peace of God is with me. And to have that, you make peace with God. Because what breaks our relationship with God is sin, iniquity. It's the sin that blocks our relationship with God so that we cannot receive anything from God. And when we even say, oh, I'm in pain, God, where are you? Help. The prayer doesn't go through. It blocks. Why? Because of our sin, our iniquity. And the prayer, God help, boom, comes down. And then we gotta remove that iniquity, have peace with God, have the relationship that is right with God, and then His peace just floods into your soul and you can't contain the joy that comes from God. Hallelujah. Amen. I experienced this, you know, how many years ago? I don't even, you know, over 30-something years ago. And it's still real. I remember, you know, that peace that came over me when I made a right relationship with God. This is what the Bible says, Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hands are not shortened that He cannot save, nor His ear heavy that He cannot hear. But your, let's say together, iniquities have separated you from your God. And your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear. Millions of people around the world, millions of people, they don't know. They are in pain, millions of people, whether they are poor or rich, they are in pain of some sort. Because their relationship with God is not right and they are crying out, I'm in pain, help! But the prayer doesn't get through because of iniquity and sin. It's like a dark cloud over your life. Dark cloud over your life. Everything is dark until the sin is removed and the ray of light from heaven comes down and touches you. And suddenly, wow, everything changes, yeah? This is what Jesus did. Jesus has removed and carried away all our iniquities so that that dark cloud is removed when we believe in Jesus, and then peace with God is made, and then peace of God floods. After that, whenever we go through trouble, we pray, yeah? Talk to Him, and bring all our needs and requests in prayer and put it on His altar, and then peace of God is continually supplied. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. What a joy it is to have your sins forgiven. Do you remember or do you have a joy that my sins, that your sin is forgiven by God? You remember that? You remember the day? Do you know that my sins are forgiven? What a great joy. If you haven't actually experienced joy, you probably never really connected with this truth. This is the foundation for peace. Life of peace in God is foundation is that you know that you know all the wrong things, all the sins you've committed from your birth, since your little child, all the way up to now, it's all taken care of, all gone, and Heaven holds nothing against you. Our God holds nothing against you. It's all forgiven. And that just the burden is just rolled off. And then you know, when you go outside, look up in the clear sky, you know, the Father, God is smiling down on you. He's got nothing against you. All the things just torn out. All the list of the things that I've done, even yesterday, even this morning, all taken care of. And when God sees, He says, my son, I love you. Just hug you and not go, dirty. No, He can just really hug you. You know that. And then you know there is nothing in between God and you. And your prayers are effective. Joyful when we walk in right relationship with God. You know, modern psychology is trying to deal with this guilty conscience. We all know what it feels like to have guilty conscience. You did something and go, I shouldn't have done. We all have something that we can remember and feel like, you know, chewing your own pillow, like, shame. I'm so shameful that happened. Or, you know, I feel so guilty that this part of my life, I remember what I've done, this part of life. I wish that never happened. I wish I can go back in time and do it again. All of that can be washed out. Psychologists are saying they really can't deal with guilty conscience, and they're saying there is no such thing as sin. You know, it's just don't call it sin. Maybe it's just your hang up, your problem. Then you don't feel so guilty, then you can function better. Yeah, that's the best they can come up with. But your conscience disagrees. Your spirit violently disagrees. No. You're guilty. You're guilty. And then you are saying, no, that's no sin. There's no God. There's no sin. There's no righteousness. It's all relative. But you still live with this unclean weight. There's only one answer. Jesus Christ has taken it all away for you. Amen. When you can see Jesus and humbly say, God, you did it all. Thank you. I didn't do it. I couldn't have done it. But because you love me, you've taken it all off my shoulder. Everything, even as a Christian. I shouldn't have done this or that. I shouldn't have lived this way, that way. Lord, I just confess and thank you, Lord, for your blood. You've carried all my iniquities away. And you love me. All my sins are forgiven. There's nothing that blocks me from receiving your blessing. Hallelujah. Amen. This is what Jesus did. Do you believe it? Yes. You're quiet? Do you actually believe it?
Yes.
Then, you know, you will feel something. This is basic. This is basic, but how many Christians still carry on with guilty conscience? I prayed this prayer before, and now I'm sort of, you know, after 5 years being a Christian, I still feel guilty, and then you don't go to the cross anymore. You're trying to do it in your own strength. No. You go to the cross, what Jesus has done. Forgiveness is not in what I've done. It's what He's done. And then all our sins are forgiven. God says, I love you. You're my son. This is what the Bible says. Ephesians 1:7, it says, In Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. In Jesus, you have a redemption. Because He shed His blood, what's the redemption? It's buying back, okay? Before you come to Christ, we are like slaves. Apostle Paul says in Romans, he says, I am carnal, sold under sin. What the under Roman culture used to do is, you know, you used to have a slavery. We don't have open slavery anymore. Slaves were to stand. We still have slaves though. Yeah. They stand on the board and they have an arrow hanging over this slave, and then he's on the slave market. And on his neck, there's a scroll with all the weaknesses, all the disadvantages, all the flaws that he's got, you know. his this slave is only $150 because his left arm is no good. He can't lift heavy things. Something like that. Or his left foot is too short, so he can't walk too far. Something like that. Anything. Any flaw. His right eye is no good, so not very useful. So then instead of like $1,000, you're half price. But when you're on that display, there's nothing you can do. There's an arrow that's over you and saying, whoever buys you determines what you will be. Somebody might buy you and then you will be a cook. Somebody will buy you and use you as a gladiator, fight and die. And can you imagine if you're just there for sale? And this is what Paul is saying. I was for sale by Satan. Now, I may be respectable or not respectable, but I am slave under sin, and that arrow that is over me is my sin, reminder for my sin. I have no choice. One way or other, whether I'm a thief or computer programmer, I'm a slave to Satan to do his will. I can't stop sinning. This is my fate. But one day, Jesus walked in that slave market and he says, hey, I buy you. Jesus paid with his own blood. And says, Satan, you can't have him anymore. He is not your slave anymore. He's my son. I'm going to take him as my son. I'm going to share all my glory with him. I'm going to raise him up as my son, as my daughter. Amen. We are no longer slave to sin because of what Jesus has done for us. Hallelujah. Amen. So, are you sons? Amen. We are sons and daughters of God. We are no more slave. We are off the table. Jesus overpaid when he shed his blood. Whatever we sinned, whatever iniquities and consequences of our iniquity, because of our iniquities, whatever is coming on our way, Jesus paid for it all. Tsunami of consequences of our sin, Jesus stands in the way and blocks it all, saying, no, I block it, I'm going to release blessing instead of punishment. Blessing over you because of what Jesus has done. This is good news. Amen? So Romans, he says this, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. So when you know all your sins are gone, God is my heavenly Father, we have peace. Because God, my Father, made the whole universe. He controls today, tomorrow, your job, your boss, your body, everything. Yesterday, I was laying on my bed. We have a really great prayer meeting. On my bed, and in my heart, I had this, I don't know, in my imagination, I just suddenly saw in my heart just a vast, beautiful space and universe. And then this just realization came to me. It says, my Father made all this. The earth is tiny, tiny, tiny dot in the solar system and vast galaxies. Can you imagine? I mean, we are so worried, so weighed down with the problems in this small earth and small part. But your Heavenly Father, my Heavenly Father, created vast universe. Can you explain? There's space, light years. You can't even measure in kilometers. Light years of space. Why? If he just created the sun and the moon and the earth, it's enough for me. He created so much more. And my realization suddenly is, this is my Father. This is your Father. It's amazing. Your Father, my Father, created everything. And I was praying, God, I hardly know you, Father. You created all these things for me. I hardly know you. But I love you. I believe in you. I believe what Jesus has done for me. Hallelujah. Amen. So when you have that, when you have peace with God, you have peace of God. You can have peace of God no matter what, whatever challenge you're going through, because your sins gone. There's nothing between you and God. Can we say this? Can you pray this short prayer with me? If you believe, put your hand over your heart. You believe. Father God, thank you for carrying all my iniquities away. Jesus, you paid for my sin. And I believe you forgave all my sins. Thank you, Lord. There's nothing between you and me. There's nothing blocking my prayers between you and me. Let your peace flow into my heart. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 It was very, very simple when I experienced this. I pray God will just give you taste and give you peace in the midst of your struggle, in the midst of challenges. Amen. That's Christian life. Secondly, what he did, I'm going to maybe go through pretty quickly, but I'm going to reiterate what Jesus did. Is Isaiah 53 verse 4, he says, surely, let's read together, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Now, literally, grief there is not just sadness. Physical, this is sickness. And sorrows in Hebrew is pains, which means Jesus carried away our sickness and endured our pains. Amen? Are you in pain? No. Some? Jesus carried it away. That's why Jesus' body was all broken to pieces. His body was full of open sores, so that through his wounds, we are healed. Jesus carried away all our sicknesses, endured our pains, and as a result, by his stripes, we are healed. By his wounds, literally. When you think about Jesus' open wounds, his suffering, his broken body. Think about it. You can imagine that. That has absorbed all our pains. Because of his pain, his suffering that he endured on the cross, he carried away all my pains and our sicknesses and diseases. You know, Jesus received 39 stripes on the back. Remember that? 39. Because if you take 40 stripes, they die. It's too much. Because those stripes were not just line. It had metal bits and bones that was connected with it so that when you lay the stripe, it just tore open the flesh. It just lacerated the back. 39, if you have one more, they will die. Too much. I heard that medical profession came up with, they identify in groups all the sicknesses and diseases and problems and everything in the human body, 39 different types of, you know, sicknesses and diseases that it all falls into that 39. I think it's quite neat. But no matter what, Jesus has carried away whatever sickness and diseases, he's done it. Jesus said, it is done. So this is the basis through which we can say, Jesus, I can receive healing for my body. Amen? Amen. So, interesting. The Bible, in the New Testament, never puts healing into the future. Never. It says, you know, by his stripes, my people will be healed. Why? It was done on the cross 2,000 years ago. We were healed. We were healed. Okay? Let me just deal with quickly in maybe 5-10 minutes. Maybe 5 minutes, and then we're going to pray. What is the... when I was in Bible college, I was told this objection to healing. Okay, objection. This is a unsanctified, scholarly objection to why you can't expect Jesus to heal you. And that objection is that when, you know, it's talking about Jesus has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, or he's borne our sickness and diseases, it's not talking about physical sickness, it's talking about spiritual sickness. So it's a spiritual sickness, it's to do with your sin and grief and all that. And go, oh, really? Because when you look at Matthew, this is not spiritual sickness, this is physical. Matthew's gospel said of Jesus, he was going around healing all the sick people. And he says, when evening came, people brought to Jesus all who were demon-possessed, They cast out the spirits with the word and healed all who were physically sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, He himself took our infirmities and our sicknesses. So how is Isaiah 53 fulfilled in Jesus? By Jesus healing physical sicknesses. We don't even know they were saved. Jesus has healed them wholesale. Every one of them, Jesus healed them. And he's saying, because Jesus physically healed all the sicknesses, this Isaiah is fulfilled in what he did. Do you follow? So this is physical healing. Yes, spiritual as well, but it's definitely physical. You cannot make that just the forgiveness of sin. This is on top of forgiveness of sin. Jesus heals our sicknesses and diseases. Another point I want to make is that there is an emphasis here. Where is the emphasis? He says, He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Jesus himself. That means when we are sick in the body, don't look at my problem too much. You got to look at Jesus. Solution is not in me. Solution is not in my sickness. You got to look at Jesus himself. See Jesus receiving all your pains. Look at Jesus. Jesus is the answer. We need to see Jesus crucified and taking away all our sicknesses and diseases. Amen. We keep our eyes on Jesus and we will receive, you know, all that God has for us. One more time, 1 Peter 2:24. He says, Jesus himself bore our sins in his own body on a tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. Let's read together. By whose stripes you were healed. Amen. So there is a spiritual aspect. Jesus carried all our sins away and the consequences of our sins away so that we can have peace with God. And on top of that, Jesus carried all our sicknesses and diseases away so we can find healing. And it is done on the cross. It's established. The fact maybe I may still be in pain, but we can look at Jesus. The truth is that Jesus bore all our sicknesses on the cross. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to get the Sunny. Let's worship the Lord. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Jesus has made a total provision for you and me. For peace. Peace. And for well-being, physical well-being. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So when you have pain, this is a basis. You can exercise our faith. Say, thank you, Jesus. Healing can be instant, but healing can be gradual. But healing is through Jesus. It must be there. Amen. Amen. Let's believe. Now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to sing and let's see what the Lord does today again here. Yeah?